Last week we learned till Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph, the last two lines. We're up to the Mishnah, the bottom of Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph. When you have a calf that drinks milk from the mother, so the milk collects in the stomach of the calf, so that's called the keva. The keva is the stomach. Keva is a section in the stomach. But the milk that's inside the stomach is referred to as the keva. The skin of the stomach is called Or HaKeva. So the Mishnah says, Kevas Ovi Kachavim, the Pasha Peshat means a Goy Shechtza Behema, and you have Goy Shechtza, a little calf, and the belly of the calf is full of milk. So it says, the milk in the stomach of the animal Geshochten by the Goy, or Vishal Nevelo, or if a Jew Shechtza calf, and he does a poor job, he made it in the Vela, the shechita was no good. So it says, Harezo Asura, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to use that milk. The milk tastes awful, because when the milk, any food that you swallow into your stomach, so the enzymes start to work on it, break it down to its component parts, and once the enzymes work on it, so it's already not royal achila. So that's going to be the discussion in the Gemara here. Whenever you have, let's say, I have a tray for a piece of meat, and I leave it, a tray for a piece of fish, I leave it out of the refrigerator for a month, so it's going to be rotten, it's going to be spoiled. So the din is that, it says in the Chumash, what do you do with a nevela? Lager ha-shav ha-sharechet t'dana b'achol ha-mochol ha-noch, either sell it to a goy, or give it to a ger toshav. You can't give it to a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is a yid, he has to keep kashrus. A ger toshav is a goy who accepts upon himself not to violate the sheva mitzvahs v'ninah. So the Chumash says, what do you do with a nevela? So the Gemara has a comment on the pasuk. It would appear only nevela haruya lager kruya nevela. If the nevela is roy lachilo sodom, if it's fit for human consumption, then it has an isa nevela. If it's nifsom achilo sodom, so it's mutter. It's mutter min atoyra. We paskin it's also midirabbanon, because if you sit and eat it, so you demonstrate achshavei. As far as you're concerned, it is roy lachilo. So that's a chum, that's a machloik, is the Rosh and the Ramban. Ramban holds even mutam in the Rabbanon, and in Shulchan Aruch we pass like the Rosh, that if you have some tray for food that's nifsal ma'achila sodom, so it's mutam and atar, it's awesome in the Rabbanon. So that's going to be a whole discussion over here. How long does the milk have to sit in the stomach when the milk, when the calf drinks the milk from the cow, from the mother cow, so right away the enzymes start working on the milk and it already tastes funny. Then if you leave it long enough, it solidifies. It's going to be chol of karush. When it first goes into the stomach, it's going to be chol of tzolot. It's going to be clear liquidy. And after a couple of hours, it's going to be karush. It's going to be hard. So then there's going to be three different opinions here in the Rishonim how to pass from Allah. Some Rishonim are of the opinion that even the chol of tzolot, even the liquidy milk, it's sitting in the stomach for half an hour, it's already full of enzymes, it's already nifsa ma'achila. Rabbi Natam is of the opinion that only chal of korush, he distinguishes. This is the bottom of Amud Beis, this is in Yerideya, this is a Yerideya topic. The Rabbi Natam in the bottom of the last Tosis, Ochi Garsinan, on Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis, he distinguishes between Omer Rabbi Natam, the last five lines, difference between chal of korush, Cholov tzolul, as opposed to cholov karush. If it sat there so long that it solidified, so then it's nifsa ma'achila. But if it's still liquidy, the enzymes worked on a little bit, it's going to be a little bit sharp, but it's not going to be spoiled. And others hold that even cholov karush, even if it's solidified, it's also roi l'achila. It's not considered pirsha bi'alma. It's not considered perish. Yeah, so that's going to be on the end of the sugya. But just reading the Mishnah, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is, if a goy shechtza behema, a calf, and inside the belly of the calf you find milk, so the Mishnah assumes, number one, the milk is roil achila. Doesn't say whether it's chalof solul, chalof karush, doesn't go into the details. Assumes, number one, the milk is roil achila, It's not nifs machilo. And number two, harezu asura. Why? Because kevasa kemoisa. That just like the animal itself is an avela, if a goy shechtze beim, it's an avela. If a Jew shechtze makes an avela, it's an avela. So not only is the flesh of the avela asav achila, the chalav in the stomach, even though that's not part of the animal, chalav in the stomach, chevosa kemoisa, the keva, the chalav in the stomach, is dina kibosa, which is very difficult. How can it be? How can it be? Even let's say, if a pig, an elephant gives off milk, so that's a din. A horse gives off milk. So yotzim in hatomei tomei. That's the Mishnah in the first parak of Mechores. A yotzim in hasa rasa. An ostrich lays eggs. So an oif tomei lays eggs. So that's learned up in the pasuk basayana. What do you mean basayana? What about a ben hayana? Only an yana and a keva. Gemara says no. Basayana is a reference. Gemara says in chulin the third parak and the other trade basayana is a reference to the beitzas oif tomei. So that's the source of the din of hayotzim in hatomei tomei. If a non-kosher animal gives off milk, so you're not allowed to drink the milk. If a non-kosher animal, bird, lays eggs, so you're not allowed to eat those eggs. So we follow the Rambam. The Rambam says you only get malchus if you eat the besar behemoth tmeo, if you eat besar oif tame. If you eat the egg or you drink the milk, that's not malchus. So you don't say, even if it's godel b'yisr, even if the egg was developed in the non-kosher bird, or even if the milk was developed inside the udder of the non-kosher animal, you don't say that it has a din like the flesh itself. It's an iser esse, it's not an iser lo esse. Here it didn't even develop in the non-kosher animal. The nevela died, and this animal, which is a nevela, drank milk from a cow. So the milk from the cow is kosher milk. So why should it be? Kevasa kemoisa. So the Gemara says that the Tanoim backed out from this. And the same Mishnah we're going to read, that the Tanoim changed their mind. This is for a short period of time. They held like that, and then they changed their position. So the Mishnah starts off, two chidushim. Number one, the cholub shebekeva is not considered pirsha bialma, is not considered nifsa me'achila. It's what to discuss, maybe it's osir. And number two, it's osir because kevosa kemoisa, just like the bisar hanavela is osir, so the keva that's inside the nevela is also osir, but that apella. Then the Mishnah continues, Hamamid Ba'or Shal Keva. Or Shal Keva. Or Shal Keva is fleshig. I shechted an animal and I take the stomach. How do you make cheese? So you have to have the enzyme that the milk that the calf drinks always turns into cheese inside the stomach of the calf because the enzymes turn it into cheese. So let's say I have a whole pot full of milk, I want to convert that milk into cheese. How do you do that? So you can do it one of two ways. I take a spoonful of milk from the stomach of the calf, and that milk is going to be full of enzymes. Or I take a piece of flesh from the skin of the belly, and the flesh has enzymes all ongeschmiert on the all full of enzymes. So I could either be mamid. Hamada means to convert milk into cheese. That's called hamada. So you can either be mamid bekeva or mamamid be'or shel keva. So if you mamid be'or shel keva, so the flesh is going to be nice and tam. The or shel keva is fleshy. It's the belly, the lining of the belly. The flesh of the lining of the belly doesn't do hamada. It's the enzyme that's on the surface of the belly that does the hamada. And nonetheless, And the enzyme is not fleshig. But nonetheless, the Mishnah considers it an issue of basa b'cholov. Why? Because to the naked eye, it looks as if the flesh is doing the hamadah. So the Mishnah says, Hamamid b'or shel keva k'sheira, I shecht an animal and I take the lining of the belly. So does it aser, does the flesh aser, the milk that makes it into cheese, does it make it into basa b'cholov? So it says in the Mishnah, it depends. Miyesh ben oisen tam harez asura. If you have shishim in the milk against the or hakeva, so the or hakeva will not succeed in giving the sinas tam. If it will give the sinas tam, see, min ha-Torah we learned it's only basa b'cholav if it's cooked together. If I just soak it in it, I take a piece of flesh and I throw it into the milk and it converts it into cheese, so min ha-Torah there's not basa b'cholav there,
I said. But l'chadchila you could do this? I mean, to rely on buttoned the shishim in order to be able to make your cheese?
The Mishnah doesn't talk about lachatchila. Rabbi Kivege has a tshuva where he says yes, that was the practice by the Jewish cheese manufacturers. They used to do it lachatchila, and he defends the practice. He says that it's okay. Yeah. Again, if you cook flesh with milk, that's basa b'chalav deraisa. You're not cooking flesh with milk. I take a piece of the stomach lining and I throw it into the vat of milk. So if you have shishim against the piece of flesh, so it will not succeed in giving the sinas tam. It will still succeed in making the hamada. It's still going to do the trick. It's going to convert the milk into cheese. If it would have been, if they would be mamid bar kevas nevela, there's a Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah that all of this is assuming that we know. The Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah says that at one point the Tanoim organized the conference to discuss whether they should prohibit eating cheese manufactured by non-Jews. Gvinas Nochem, Gvinas Akum. So the Tanoim, so they invited a whole bunch of Tanoim and they took a vote and they asked Gvinas Akum. One Tana wasn't there. So he asked the others, what happened? So they say, "We asked Gvina Sakim, what's the reason?" So he starts beating around the bush, and he doesn't tell him the reason. So the Gemara says, why doesn't he tell him the reason? So he says, because whenever the Chachamim make a Gzer Rabbana, the tradition is in Eretz Yisrael, but Marava, they don't reveal the reason for the Gzer until 12 months go by. We wanted people first to observe the Gzer. If we're going to give right away the reason for the Gzer, so every time Dick and Harry will say, it doesn't apply to me, I'm going to be careful, I won't violate the Yisus, I don't need the Gzer. So even this Tana who was invited to come to the meeting, but he wasn't there, he wasn't able to show up. So since he wasn't there, so they're not going to reveal the reason to him. So because of this Chachma, because we don't reveal the reason, so that's why the reason was forgotten. So generations later, the Gemara says, and what's Taka the reason? So there's a whole machlek of six different opinions in the Gemara. What's the reason why they prohibited Gvina Sakum? So the Rabbi Natam claims that there in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Nadav, Rabbi Natam claims that the real reason why it's Osir, one of the six reasons of the Gemara, the real reason is Okter, because you can't trust the Nochrim. When they make cheese, they're not so careful about the unhealthy. The Jews are careful about eating healthy foods, and the Goyim are not careful. That's in the days of the Tanoim. That's the way it was. Today the Jews are overweight. Maybe the Goyim are also overweight in America. Also. America, the Goyim are also overweight. So the Gemara says that it was assumed that it's a real sakana to drink water or to drink milk, mai megulim, that was uncovered, that possibly a snake spit some poison into. And the Nochem were not careful about this. So the Chachamim prohibited us from eating the cheese, Gvinas Anochem, because they may have mixed in some water, which the Goyim are not careful about, my Megulim, and we don't want to die. The Goyim don't care about their lives, so that's their problem. But we don't want to die, so that's why we're not allowed. So the Rabbi in time says, if that's the reason, so we always drink my Megulim. Nechoshim anat mitzuyim etzlena. We don't live in the countryside where you have snakes running all over the place. So Tosfos says in Avodah Zarah there that my Megulim is banas as mutter if you live in a city where there are no snakes roaming in the streets. So my Megulim is mutter. So the whole Gzera Gvina Sakam doesn't apply bismanas. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik held like that. He says his family tradition was that Mikra Adin Gvina Sakam is mutter, but there's no mitzvah to be mefarsimit. And Shulchan Aruch says the meaning is you don't need the Gvina Sakam, so you don't need it. You have to make sure that there's no kashrus issues. It could be that there's a kashrus issue. But Rabbi Natam holds that that's not the reason why they prohibit. But if in the six reasons the Gemara gives, Rabbi Natam claims that the real reason is that Tam that the Gemara gives, because the Mai Megulim storm, and therefore the whole thing is really mutter. So that's what the Chazon Ish held also. In the early years, after Hakamas HaMedina, and even before Hakamas HaMedina, 1940s, 1950s, so kosher cheese wasn't available. So they only had Gvinas Akum. There were no Jewish companies who were making Gvinas Yisrael. So in Eretz Yisrael, they were selling trefa cheese. They were selling goyisha cheese. So the Rabbanut says we can't give a hashgacha, we can't give a stamp of kashrus on the goyisha cheese. So the Chazon Ish sent letters to Rav Herzog requesting of the Rabbanut they should give a hashgacha on the goyisha cheese, because Meikere, then you know and I know that it's really mutter, that the real sheet is what the Rabbi Natam said, that it's also because of my Megulim, and Bismana Zah, my Megulim is mutter, So he said it's just a chumrah that you should need goyish cheese. But here the people are going to get used to eating food without a hashgacha. Just teiknish. So he said, besa the rabbanut should give a hashgacha. They should check that there are no non-kosher ingredients. It's the gvina sakma, so you should rely on the rabbi natam. Mikra din is really muta. And when time, and in another couple of years, some Jewish company will process cheese, so then you'll stop giving the hashgacha, you'll stop giving the supervision on the goyish company. You'll only give on the Jewish company, because like this, you're getting the people used to eating food without hashgacha, which is a bad habit. So I don't think they listened to the Chazon Ish, but they printed the letters. A couple of years ago, they printed the letters that the Chazon Ish had sent to the Rabbanut, asking them that they should give a hashgacha.
What about Cholavakum?
Why didn't they do it? The Chasam Sofer asked Akasha. Cheese is made out of milk, and they made Gzeira on Cholavakum, so the cheese is a dead giveaway. So, of course, it's a Cholavakum. How then do you make cheese? And they asked at Cholavakum. So what is there to discuss? So the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva, apparently, the Gzeira of Cholavakum is only instituted if you buy it from the Goy in the form of milk. If you buy butter from a Goy, so the Rambam says there are two different minhagim, whether chema sakum is also a mutter, and the Rambam says if it's also, it's also mitam minig, the minig hamokah. Why isn't also all the butter is made from milk, so all the butter should be Cholavakum? So Chasam Sofer says you see from the Rambam, from the Gemara, that the Gzeira of Cholavakum was only nigzar if you bite from the goy in the form of milk. If you bite in the form of butter, there never was a gzera. Bite in the form of cheese, there never was a gzera. So they had to make a new gzera on cheese. Why isn't it? But the same chashash of cholavakum. So he says, no, the Gemara says that if it would be milk from a trefa animal, it would be very hard. It would be practically impossible to convert it into cheese or to convert it into butter. So therefore, you don't have to be choshish. The milk cholavakum they ask it because maybe it's cholabehemet meh. Maybe they mixed in some cholabehemet meh. And the cheese and the butter they never ask it because you're buying it in a different form. That's what years ago when it was not easy to get cholav Yisrael, so Rabbi Pesach Frank had a kula that if you buy powdered milk from the goy, so that's a different form. If you buy liquidy milk, that's the gzeira of cholavakum. If you buy powdered milk, they never made a gzeira on that because you're buying it in a different form. So for many years, some places that we're relying on at Tzid Pesach Frank School, then when Cholav Yisrael became more available, so then they stopped relying on the kula of the powdered milk. I remember when I learned, in the summertime I used to learn in Brooklyn in the Miri Yeshiva, when I was in high school. In the yeshiva there was only one shir in YU in the summertime. I don't know why, I never went to that shir. So I used to go to the Miri Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So there they were makben and Cholav Yisrael, but it wasn't always available. They used to get from, I think, the Bnei Akiva from Hachshara, from Pennsylvania, so it wasn't always delivered on time. They used to have this awful tasting powdered milk that they mixed with water. Tasted awful. So they relied on Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And then Cholav Yisrael became more popular, so no more Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. So they didn't rely on him anymore. Eretz Yisrael also, there was a period of time that they relied, those who were machmer on the Cholav Akum, Cholav Yisrael, so they would be mekel on the powdered milk, and then they stopped being mekel. So in this sugi in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says originally the Tana didn't want to tell him the reason for the Gzera the Rabbana because he's not allowed to reveal the reason. It has to be kept a secret. So because they kept it a secret, so it was forgotten. So years later, the Gemara is trying to reconstruct what's Taka the reason. The Gemara has six different reasons. So one reason is the Rabbeinu Tam claims that's the real reason because of my Megulim. That's the real reason. It's not because of kashrus issues, but because of health issues. And then the more popular explanation is what Shmuel says. Here, our Gemara quotes Shmuel. It's about 20 lines from the top, and it says on the left margin, Shom. After it says Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei, so the next one says Shom. So that's the member of Shmuel from Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei. Mipnei ma osru gvinas avdi kachavim. Why did the Tanaim prohibit gvinas akum? What was the concern? So Shmuel says, Mipnei shem amidam oisa ba'or kevas nevela. They heard that some of the goyim make cheese by taking milk and they scooping a spoonful of the milk in the belly of the calf, which is full of enzymes that'll do the job. Instead of doing that, they cut a piece of flesh from the or kevas nevela. Goyim are making the cheese. So they don't have any kosher geshacht in a beim, so they have nevelas. So they'll take a piece of flesh from the nevela and they'll throw it into the big vat of milk. A vat of milk so big, the size of this room, throw a couple of enzymes, within a course of an hour or so, everything will convert into cheese. According to the beginning of the Mishnah, it says the keva of a nevela is also us, the milk itself is us. So the Gemara is going to say the next line, the Mishnah already backed out. The Tanaim, that's Kodem Chazar, and then it's Lacha Chazar. So the Tanaim backed out from that because it doesn't make sense on two accounts. It doesn't make sense. Number one, many Rishonim hold Lefi HaMaskana that even the milk that's tzolol inside the belly is already, the enzymes did already such a job, Nipsal Me'achilo. So even if it would be treif, it wouldn't be treif. Nipsal Me'achilo. And number two, even if it wouldn't be Nipsal Me'achilo, but the calf drank the milk from a kosher cow, so why should the milk be also? What do you mean kevasa kegufa? The calf is not kegufa. The Mishnah there in Avodah Zarah says that one of the Tanoim proved that the calf is not kegufa behema when you bring a carbon oil to the Beis Hamikdash. All other carbonas, you zarek the dam on the corners of the mizbech, then you burn the fat, the chelav you burn on the mizbech. What do you do with all the flesh? So if it's a chatos or an oshem, the kohanim eat it, zichri kohuna eat it, the male kohanim eat it. In the Azar, Yom V'Layla Ad Chatzos. And if it's a shlamim, some other kind of a carbon, then the Israelim can eat it. So what if it's a carbon oila? So carbon oila, kula kolo. You have to burn the whole thing in the Mizbech, you're not allowed to eat any part of it. The or, the Kohanim take, the or is latinu kembasar. You don't burn the hide on the Mizbech, you just burn the flesh. But all the flesh you burn. So what about the keva? What about the milk in the stomach of the carbon oila? Somebody brings a young calf as a carbon oil, the shecht, they're burning everything, that they have to burn the milk, or can they drink the milk? So the Mishnah has an expression, a kohen who's nishke mefunek will eat the cheese that sits on the stomach. That means it's goyel nefesh, a normal person wouldn't want to eat it. It tastes awful. Meshugad af mezayin. Who's going to eat that stuff full of enzymes? So the Mishnah has a lashon, kohen shadaita yofe, if he doesn't bother him, any normal person would bother, who wants to eat it, nifsa machila probably. If he doesn't care, he's allowed to eat the keva, the milk, in a carbon oila. Carbon oila is a shayla me'ila behegdish, and still keva is not kibasa. Of course keva is not kibasa. So how can he say over here, if the animal is in a vela, and there's milk in the belly, so the milk has an isa in the vela. It doesn't even have, even by kochim, it doesn't have an isa, doesn't have a chashash of me'ila, which is mochomer. Kavachem shouldn't have a chashash over here. So the Gemara says, the first line in our Mishnah, that kevasa, kibsara, is kodem chazar. That's before the Tanoim back down. And then that Mishnah in Avodah Zarah records this argument, that they had a tradition, the Kohanim are allowed to eat the cholav shebekeva, so they back that keva is not kemosa. So again, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah has the gzera, the Rabbanim, you're not allowed to eat cheese that was manufactured by the goyim, and the Gemara gave six reasons. So the most popular reason, that's the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch have adopted Shmuel's reason. What's the real reason? We're afraid that maybe they took a piece of flesh of the nevela meat. They don't have kosher geshocht in the meat. Maybe they took a piece of the stomach, the lining of the stomach, and they threw it into the vat of the milk. And then, even if you always have shishim against it. The room is so big, full of milk, and it's a little tiny little thing. Yeah, well, if I love him, but mamid is a nudin. Dobra mamid, if something is treif, and it leaves an effect on the kosher food, it changes it. Instead of being liquidy milk, it changes it into cheese, to solid cheese. That's called the dobra hamamid. So there's a chumrim in the rabbanon. Some hold menatera. We don't pass like that. We hold this a chumrim in the rabbanon. The dobra mamid, I feel the elef lay bottom. So that's what Shmuel explains, the reason why the Chachamim prohibited eating Gvina Sakum, because we're concerned every so often there'll be Mamid or Kevas Nevela. If there would be Mamid, be Kevas Nevela with the milk in the stomach. The Kevas Nevela is Mutta, because we don't accept the first line in the Mishnah. But Mamidim or Kevas Nevela, even if you have Shishim, you have Elof Alfi Alofim against it, Dabra Mamid is Loi Bottom. So that's Taisus there has this famous Kasha. Why did Shmuel have to ask it? Because Mabinim Ba'or Keves Nevela. If Mabinim Ba'or Keves Ksheira, it'll be Basa B'chalov. It won't be Basa B'chalov Deraisa. It'll be Basa B'chalov Derabana. If the flesh, the Mishnah says, Miyesh Ben Oysen Tam Hareza Asura. How did the Mishnah say? Hamamid ba'or shel keva ksheira. I take the lining of the belly from a kosher animal, and I take a piece of flesh and I throw into a vat of milk. So if you have shishim against it, it's muta. Why is there shishim? Why is it muta? If you don't have shishim, it's asa. If you have shishim, it's muta. Why is it muta if you have shishim? But it's a dover hamamid. That's how it says hamamid. Mm-hmm. What happened to the din? Dover hamamid, afir the belly floy bottom. So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is the Rimagash. The Rambam quotes his Rebbe, the Rimagash. The Rambam is not the Talmud of the Rimagash. Rambam is 7 years old when the Rimagash died. But the Rimagash on his deathbed gave my bracha. His father, Ben Moshe Ben Maimon, the father of Maimon, learned by the Rimagash. Rimagash was the Talmud of the Rif. So on his deathbed, he gave the Rambam a bracha, should be matzliach and learning. So the Rambam felt that his hatzlach and learning was because of the Chassidish Rebbe's bracha, so he considered the Rimagash as his Rebbe. He was responsible for all of his learning. I remember when we were married, we didn't have any children, so we decided they're going to go visit Eretz Yisrael, maybe in the schus of visiting Eretz Yisrael, we'll have children. So we had 9 children afterwards. So we were in Bnei Brak for a while, because my wife's grandfather spent his last years in Bnei Brak. He was friendly with the Panevish Rav, so he spent a week in Bnei Brak. So someone said, I should go to the stipler and ask for a bracha. So I said, who's the stipler? Well, who is he? What is he? He told me, at that time, I had never heard of him. So he told me he wrote all these svarim. So I said, what do you do? They said, you go, you buy a sefer, and after you buy the sefer, you ask him for a bracha, he'll give you a bracha. So I didn't know whether I like his svarim, so I only bought one sefer. So the yeshiva was going to learn Kiddushin. This was in the summertime. So he was going to learn Kiddushin in September. So I said, I went to him. He was hard of hearing. So he had a pad of paper, and he would scream out loud in Yiddish, what can I do for you? So I wrote down on the pad of paper, I want to buy the sefer on Kiddushin. So he climbs up on the ladder, he gets the sefer, he blows off the dust, wipes it off, gives me the sefer. I give him the money, he gives me a quarter change. I said, you can keep the change. He says, he doesn't need donations, he's not a poor man, business is business. He gives me the quarter change. Then he screams out in Yiddish, what else can I do for you? So I wrote down on the pad of paper, because it was hard of it. I wrote down, I'm married, I have no children, can you give me a bracha? We should have children. So he gave me a bracha, we should have children. Then he screams out in Yiddish, what else can I do for you? So I said, I learned in the Koilo. I was embarrassed to say I was a Rebbe in Yeshiva. He just said, I learned in the Koilo, which was also true. I was learning in the Koilo also. Can you give me a bracha? I should be matzliach. So he screams at me, oh, in Yiddish, all the brachas in the world are not going to help. Sit and learn, that's the matzliach sein. But the Rambam attributed his hatzloch and learning to the bracha from the Rimagash. As a little child, on his deathbed, he gave him a bracha and was 7 years old. That's what he writes in one place, in one of his letters. So he considers the Rimagash as Rebbe. He rarely disagrees with the Rimagash. Rarely. Rarely disagrees. So here he quotes the Rimagash, and that's the way it's nifsak in Shulchan Aruch. That when he say Dov Hamamid Loi Batal, if it's Or Kevas Nevela, if it's Atrefa Dov Hamamid, so that even though you have Shishim against it, and it's Ein Nois and Tam, so you can't really say Tam Ki Iker, because Nois and Tam, it's considered as if it's not Batal, it's not Nois and Tam. But since the effects of the nevela are nika, because it changed it into cheese, originally it was liquidy milk and now it's solidified, so davar mamid loy batal midrabanan, because it left in effect. But if it's or kevas kshera, if imam be or kevas kshera, so they declare that it's basa b'cholavan and a heter, it's heter. So the only time it makes it osir is if it's nois and tam, and b'yesh b'nois and tam harei zasur. If it's no nois and tam, even though it's a davar hamamid, even though it accomplishes the hamada, so we paskin that it's muta. That's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. The Tosfos there in Avodah Zarah doesn't agree with the Rimagash. What do they do with the Mishnah? Beisach Mishnah. Beferish and Mishnah. Yesh bo b'nois and tam, ein bo b'nois and tam is a muta, even though it accomplished the hamada. So Tosfos there in Avodah Zarah holds us not so, that if you have mamidim b'or kevas kshera, if you know that you are mamid b'or kevas kshera, it'll taka be awesome itam basa b'chola midirabbanan. It won't be awesome in Atar. There was no derech bishul, but it'll be awesome in the Rabbanan. So why did they have to? Why did they only ask it? Because mabinim bar kevus nevela, mabinim bar kevus ksheva should also be awesome. So Taisa says we don't know how the goyim made the cheese. We're concerned maybe they made it. So the worst it can be is going to be a basa b'chola of the Rabbanan. The worst it can be is going to be a basa b'chola of the Rabbanan. So it's a safik the Rabbanan lekula. We're not going to make a gzera the Rabbanan to aser all goyish cheese, all gavina sakam, because maybe they were mamid, but or kevas ksheira. Because even if they were mamid, the worst it could be is only the rabban. But mabidim be or kevas nevela, that'll be achshash deraisa. Why will be achshash deraisa? Well, davra mamid loy batul is a din deraisa. That's what it sounds like from Tosis. The Dover Amamid Lo Batel is a Din Deraisa. There's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach writes like that. Magen Avraham thinks that the Tur holds the Dover Amamid Lo Batel is a Din Deraisa. We don't accept that. We hold the Dover Amamid Lo Batel itself is only the Rabbanon. That's why we would say, let's say, if there's a Sufik the Rabbanon Lekula. If you have a Sufik whether something was a Mamid or not, so you would go Lekula. A lot of times, let's say you have, what do you call it? Emulsifier. What's an emulsifier? If you mix together, remember years ago, the reason why I'm so fat is because I used to eat fattening foods. So as a little boy, I used to enjoy drinking chocolate milk. So you would buy chocolate milk, you had to shake it up first. Because it had separated. So now you don't have to shake it up anymore. Why? Because they put in an emulsifier that keeps it. Is that called the Dover Hamamid? The emulsifier. Let's say there's a treifa emulsifier, but you have shishim. You have way more than shishim against the emulsifier. The emulsifier isn't nice and tam. It just accomplishes that this thing is not going to separate again. It's going to keep it the way it is. So the effect, there's a lasting effect that's accomplished by the emulsifier, that the thing is not going to separate. But it didn't really change the status of the thing. It retained the status. Or let's say you have a preservative. So I have a loaf of bread. The loaf of bread would become stale in a week if I just leave it the way it is. But because they put in a preservative, so it has a much longer shelf life, so it'll last longer. It'll be fresh for a longer period of time. So it does have the results. The effect of mixing in the preservative will be felt later, but it didn't really change the matzah, it didn't change the status of the bread. It just preserves it for longer. I know that there's a preservative there. Even if I wouldn't have the package, I would realize there is a preservative, otherwise it should have become stale much earlier. So that's a big machlekes, whether that's called the Dover HaMamid. So we hope the Dover HaMamid is only the Rabbanon, so Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. If you have a Sofik of something of the Dover HaMamid, so there's room to be makel. Let's say I use the Dover HaMamid and I'm not sure whether the Dover HaMamid was kosher or treif. So the worst it could be is that it was treif. The worst it's going to be is going to be the Rabbanon. So strictly speaking, a Sofik the Rabbanon Lekula. Usually in all the kashrus organizations, they're machmer on the emulsifiers. They're machmer, sometimes they're machmer on the preservatives. Also, different kashrus organizations have different policies about this. How far do you go with Dover HaMamid? Yeah. So that's Tosis sheet. Tosis holds that if you know for sure that you were mamid the cheese, ba'or kevas kshera, if you know for sure, then it will be basa b'chol of the rabbanon. But they're not going to ask, they're not going to prohibit all goyish cheese in the world because maybe they were mamid, ba'or kevas kshera, maybe yeah, maybe no. So it's a suffix about the rabbanon. So they don't make exer the rabbanon because of a suffix that maybe it's also from the rabbanon. But the possibility that the Mamid and Bior Kevas Nevela, that's more serious. And we don't pass like that, Tyson. We pass like the Rimakash. And Dover HaMamid only asks if it's an Iser, if it's a Heter. The Dover HaMamid is going to make it into a Bas V'chala, we don't go so far. Okay. That's how we pass.
How is it a Heter?
Let's say I have kosher flesh, and I take a piece of flesh, kosher geshacht in the flesh, and I throw it into the vat of milk. So that's kosher, this is kosher. And I have shishim against it, so the flesh is not nice and tam. And yesh b'nois and tam hareis asur, it's not nice and tam. It's a dover hamamid. You have elef alfi alofim against the nesina tam. But it's mamid. The piece of kosher flesh affected, left an effect on all the milk. It converted everything into cheese. So we paskin it like the Rimagash, that doesn't asur. Rabbi Kivek says, even mutter l'chatchila. It's even mutter l'chatchila to make cheese like that, to use it, yeah. The achronim are bothered with this kasha. The achronim are bothered with the kasha. The animal only produces enzymes while it's alive. After the animal dies, after it's an avela, doesn't manufacture anymore. The whole system collapses. It's not manufacturing any more enzymes. So if you're going to take a piece of lining of the stomach, the or hakeva, from an avela, the nevela is only also after it dies. Kol zman it's alive, it's a kosher ego. It's a kosher animal. After it dies, it doesn't manufacture any more enzymes. So what do you mean? If you're going to take the stomach lining of a nevela and throw it into a big vat of milk, so gigantic like the size of the room, so So he said, what's mamid? What's mamid? The enzymes are mamid. The enzymes are manufactured while the animal was alive. And the flesh is nevela, but the flesh doesn't do the hamada. The enzymes do the hamada. And the Tanoim also knew that, the enzymes do the hamada, because they know you can be mamid bekefa. You can take a, they did it. They used to take a spoonful of the milk in the stomach, which they knew was full of enzymes, and put it into the vat of milk, and that would also do the trick. So when they took the lining of the stomach and they threw it in, they knew that it wasn't the flesh of the stomach, not the flesh of Bodos Dahmod, it's the enzyme. The enzymes were manufactured while the animal was still alive. So where are your mamid bo or kevis nevel over here? So the Dar Ketshuva asked that kasha, the Min Kasha quotes that kasha, and the Achrayim say that since it's not visible to the naked eye that the enzyme is something separate from the basar, it looks as if the flesh is doing the hamada, even though we know that it's not, because we know the hamada can be done by the milk in the stomach. So it's done by the enzyme, not by the flesh. But since when you have a piece of flesh and you throw it in, it looks as if the piece of flesh does the hamada, so that's considered mamid, b'dover ha'asa. It's a chiddush. The whole din is a chiddush. Let's continue. Let's finish the Mishnah, the top line of the Mishnah. I have a kosher animal was drinking milk from a trefa animal. So an animal can be trefa while it's walking around. Let's say it has a broken leg. If it's broken in the right place, it'll be a trefa. A lot of times a broken leg from the break on. Sometimes you shecht an animal, it has a broken leg. From the break on, you're not allowed to eat it. That's basar v'yeva hamadul dolim, b'behem achai v'yoif. That's osir. That's osir min ator. That's based on the pasuk. Basar basoda treifa lo sachelu. So what does it say? Basoda, basar treifa. If an animal is a treifa, you're not allowed to eat it, whether it's basoda or babayis. What's the difference? Gemara says basoda means if it's yotze chutz l'mchitzosa. So the Gemara has, for example, let's say have kachim kalim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. If you took the kachim kalim out, you're not allowed to eat it. Nifsal b'yotze. And it's a violation of basa basada treifa losachel. Kimish yotza basa chutz l'mchitzasai nesa. Or let's say you have kachi kachim. The makam of kachi kachim is the azara. So you took it out by mistake. The mezid b'shog does make a difference. Took out the kachi kachim from the azara, chutz l'azara. So yotza chutz l'mchitzasai, that's called basada. You're not allowed to eat it. So the same is over here. If you have an animal that has a chicken that has a broken leg, you have a behemoth that has a broken leg. So sometimes if the leg is broken in the right place, the whole animal will be a treifa. And sometimes if it's broken and not by the tzumas agidin, it won't make it a treifa, but from the break on is dangling, that part of the leg is dangling. So when you shecht it, you're permitted to eat the whole animal, except for that broken part of the leg. That's like basa shiotza chutz l'mchitzosa. The dangling leg is called basa basoda. Let's say you have a ben pakua. You shech the cow and there's an uber inside and the uber has stuck out a leg before you shech the cow. So you're allowed to eat the whole uber minus the leg. You're not allowed to eat the leg because that's basa basada. So here the Mishnah has, let's say I have an animal that's walking around, has a broken leg, and the whole animal is a trefa, not just the bottom of the leg. The whole animal is a trefa. So I have ksherish a young kim and a treifa. I have a kosher egel. I shecht a young calf, shecht a young goat, and this goat was drinking milk from a treifa. The mother is a treifa. Whatever animal is drinking the milk from has a broken leg in such a way that it's a treifa. So kevasa asura. So the milk in the stomach is asur because the calf was drinking this milk from an animal that's a treifa. That's yotzim and ha'asur is asur. That's pig's milk, like ostrich egg. Not allowed to. What if I care? Treifa sheyonkim in akshera. I shecht an egel, and the egel has a broken leg. The whole egel is a treifa. But this egel, before I shechted it, drank milk from a kosher animal. So the milk in the stomach is kevasa mutaris. The milk in the stomach is mutter. Because mepnesha konus b'meyeh. It's just sitting there. It doesn't become there is no such din that kevasa kibsara. That whatever the din of the flesh of the animal is, so the milk in the cave is the same. The second half of the Mishnah, this half, starting from Keri Sheyankim and Atreva, Atreva Sheyankim and Akshera, totally contradicts the first line of the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara says. There was a Machlekes HaTanaim. In an earlier period of time, the Tanaim subscribed to the first line in the Mishnah, that the Cholav Shebekeva has the same din of the animal. If the animal is an Avela, or the animal is a Trefa, so the Cholav HaKonos B'meyel will have the same din. And then the Tanaim backed out that that's ridiculous, because even my Korban Oila, a coin should die to Yofa, is allowed to eat the Cholav Shebekeva. There is no such din that Kivosa Kemois. There is no such Allah. So now the Gemara is trying to figure out what's pshat in the opening line in the Mishnah. How are you supposed to read it? Keva sadek kachavim vishel nevel. If a goy shechts a behemah, it is a nevel. That's a Mishnah in the first parak on Daf Yud Gimel. Says so. Shechita sakim nevel metame b'masa. If a goy shechts, you know the goy does a perfect job at doing the shechita. You learn that from a pasuk that shechita sakim is a nevel. It's metame b'masa. Has a tumas nevel also. Not just an isa nevel. As a Tumas Nevela. So the Gemara asks, how do you read the first line in the Mishnah on Kuf Tazayinim and Aleph? Kevus Avakechavim or Shel Nevela. The Cholav in an animal Geshachtim by Goy is Shel Nevela. It's the same thing. Isn't it a repeat? But the Kevus Avakechavim Lav Nevela, isn't it the same thing? So Rav Huna has a fantastic pshat that we don't accept. And Shmuel says the normal pshat. Shmuel is going to say, that's what it means. Yeah, if you skip 20 lines, so there's an asterisk, and then it says on the side of it, Izar Daf Lamed Hei. So, Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel does not agree with Rav Huna's Pshat. We pass like Shmuel, Shmuel Amar, Chodo Katani, that's what it means. It's one and the same. Keva Shchita Savikachavim Nevela. That's what it means in the Mishnah. If a Goy Shechts a Behemah, it has a din of a Nevela. So the Cholov that's inside the belly of the Geshochten animal that was geshachten by a guy, so it's in the vela. Or a Jew shechten and he did a poor job and he made it in the vela, so you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat that milk inside the stomach because kevasa kebisara, achidish. Then the Gemara says, but how can it be? Isn't it umi yama Shmuel hachi? Is that what Shmuel holds? Shmuel is explaining the Mishnah. Is that what he holds? That the cholav shebekeva has the same din as the besar habehema? It's not true. We know the Shmuel said, mipnei ma osir gvinas of the kachavim. Because Mabidim Osir Be'or Kevus Nevela. Okeva Gufa Sharia. Only because Mabidim Be'or Kevus Nevela. Sometimes the goyim will take the lining of the stomach and throw it into the vat of milk. But if they just take a spoonful of the milk in the stomach and throw it into the vat of regular milk, and they have everything turn into cheese, that would not be a problem. Okeva Gufa, if they would be Mamid, the kosher milk, with milk from the stomach of a Nevela, Sharia, that would not be a problem, only because the Mabini Be'or HaKeva doesn't contradict what Shmuel explained over here in the Mishnah. Shmuel says here the first line in the Mishnah means that the Cholav in the stomach has the same din as the stomach. If the stomach is Nevela, the Cholav is also. If the stomach is Trefa, the Cholav is also. But Shmuel said not so. And for the Gemara Lekasha, Kan Kun Chazor, Kan Lach Hazar. The Mishnah in Avodah Zarah says that the first line in our Mishnah was the original Psak of the Tanoi. And then he backed out from that. There is no such halacha that the cholav in the stomach is dina kistamim. So that's the pshat that we accept in the Mishnah. So that's the maskana. That's what Tosfos says. We pass like Shmuel. So until you get to Shmuel, they quoted a different pshat. So the Gemara first, beginning right after the Mishnah, the Gemara says, "Otu kevus avikachom lab nevela." Isn't it the same thing? So first, Rav Huna gives a wild interpretation of the Mishnah, which we don't accept la halacha. Amar Rav Huna, pshat is azoy. When it says kevas oved kachavim is aser, it doesn't mean a goy shechts a behema. No, a goy shechts a behema, that's kevas nevela. The first time in the Mishnah holds that the milk in the stomach, if a goy shechts is a nevela, or if a Jew shechts it, he made a nevela, the milk in the stomach is a nevela. We don't paskin like that. We paskin lacha chazori, back that. But the opening line in the Mishnah means something else. If I purchase an egel from a goy, I purchase an egel from a goy and I shecht it. An hour later, the milk in the stomach is awesome. Because I don't know what the goy did with this calf before he sold it me. I have to be concerned. Maybe the calf was drinking milk from a trefa animal or from a behemah tmeya. That's Rav Huna's pshat. Omer Rav Huna, pshat in the Mishnah is halcha v'lekech gidi min avikachav maskinon, and the Jew shechts it. So you're not allowed to drink the milk in the stomach. Why? The chashina, we have to be concerned. Mi yodea what the goy did. Maybe the goy allowed the calf to drink milk from a behemoth treifa. Shema yonak mina treifa. Freg di Gemara. What are you talking about? What, it's so common that behemoths are treifas? That is going to be... Mi chashina and shema yonak mina treifa. Is that so? You have to be concerned about the possibility. It's a milsa de la shchicha. You go basarayv. How do you drink any milk? What, you x-ray the animal? Maybe the animal that you're milking is a treifa. Now, in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any x-rays. Now, it'll cost a fortune. You can x-ray the animal. The Gemara said you don't have to because you go basarayv. Roy behemoth aksheris. So what are you worried about over here? You're not allowed to... If I bought a calf from a goy and a shechted an hour later, you're not allowed to drink the milk in the stomach because maybe the calf drank milk from a behema treifa. But you go basarayv that it didn't happen. Are you really concerned about that? Don't you go basarayv? Ivo hatanya, we have a brisa that says lokhin beitzim. It's not a mishnah. It says it's a tosefta, a brisa. Ivo hatanya, hatanya, you say if it's a mishnah. Tanya, if it's a brisa. Ivo hatanya, we have a brisa lokhin beitzim in hoev de kachavim. You're allowed to buy eggs from a goy. How do you know? Maybe they're eagle's eggs. Maybe they're ostrich eggs. So the answer, it's a different shape. When you're going to crack it open, you'll be able to tell. You can tell by the shape. When you crack it up, you can tell. I know it's from a chicken. I know it's a hen's egg. It's not an ostrich egg, and it's not an eagle's egg. I can tell. But the question is, maybe it's from a treifa. Maybe the hen that laid the egg is a treifa. Or maybe it's a nevela. What do you mean a nevela? I mean a dead hen lays an egg after it's dead. How can it be? No, it means if you have a hen that has an egg inside and it's about to pop out, and then the hen drops dead, or you shoot the hen. So what's the din? Beitzas nevela. Are you allowed to eat it? So the beitzas nevela was developed while the hen was alive. While the hen was alive, it wasn't a nevela. The minute it drops dead, it's not manufacturing, it's not producing any more beitza. So Beishamai say that it's mutta. Shama said Beitzes Nevela is Mutta. Why should it be Asa? We paskin like Besilo that Beitzes Nevela is Asa. Why in the world is it Asa? So Taisa says it's a Gzeira. Taisa has two opinions. And the accepted opinion of Yerida is that Beitzes Nevela is only Asa Medrabbonim. A Gzeira Otto Beitzes Trefa. Beitzes Trefa is really Yaitzim and Ha'asar. Like Beitzes Oiftame. Bas Hayana means Beitzes Oiftame. Achola Behemet Meh. Whatever is God, there'll be Isser. The milk is developed in the elephant. I don't know, does the elephant manufacture milk? The horse, the pig. The horse and the pig give off milk. So since it's God will be Issa, so that's Yotzim and Ha'asar is Asa. If you have eggs that are developed by a hen, that's a trefor. Eggs that are developed by an ostrich, eggs that are developed by an eagle, are non-kosher. Eggs that are developed by a nevela, there is no such thing. When it's dead, it stops all the processes. So the egg was developed while it was alive. So Bishilul, we pass on like Bishilul. Bishilul say they made Exera the Rabbanim. We don't allow you to eat the beitza that's found inside the hen. That's a nevela, Exera otu beitza strefa. Beitza strefa is taka osam in atara, because it's got to be, so it was developed by the hen that was a trefa before it started to develop the eggs. Every other day they lay eggs. They lay eggs. Now they probably lay eggs every day. They have a different system now. They make them lay eggs every day now. So if the hen that's laying the egg is a treifa, so then it'll really be an isim and a ter. So we pass can beitzas nevelas asim adirabonon agzeirot to beitzas treifa. So the Gemara says, v'hatanya, we have a brisa lokhim beitzim and of the kachavim. You're permitted to buy eggs from a goy. You can't trust the nochri when he tells you that it's, let's say he gives you a whole bottle, a whole jar full of eggs, egg yolks that are all shaken up already, that are beaten up, shaken up. You can't buy from the Nochem. Maybe he took eggs from non-kosher birds and he mixed it together. There's no way to tell. But if you buy the egg and you can tell by the shape and then you crack it open, you can tell by what it looks like on the inside that it's from a hen. The only question is, was it a nevela or a trefa? So then it says, En choshishim lam shim nevela, lam shim trefa. You don't have to worry about that because you go basarayv. The rive of the birds are not treifa. They're far-fetched that it's going to be a beitzas nevela treifa. So the Gemara asks on Rav Huna, how can you tell me that you're not allowed to drink the milk in the stomach of the calf that you bought from a goy, because maybe the calf drank milk from a treifa, it doesn't make any sense. It's far fetched. Elaim azagazai. Not that Yechoshish may be the calf drank milk from a treifa. Elaim azagazai. Chashin Hashem a yonak min hatmeyu. You have to be concerned. Treifa is a milsad loshchicha, but behemoth tmeyu is common. The goyim have horses, they have pigs, they give off milk. So you have to be concerned. You're not allowed to drink the milk that's in the stomach of the calf you bought from the goy. Maybe this calf just drank milk from a behemoth tmeyu. Freg the gemara. Why are you worried about that? You're not worried about that. Everything more treifa lo shchicha, because rab behemas aksheres. Masheni came tmeya is shchicha. The goyim raised pigs. They raised pigs in order to eat the pork, so the pigs give off milk, and the kebab the pigs will give off milk. So that's shchicha. Freg the gemara is shchicha. If it's really so common, it's not a milsad lo shchicha. So afilu gabedi dan nechesh. So if I buy a calf from a Jew, how can I drink the milk, and I shecht it an hour later? How can I drink the milk in the stomach of the calf? Maybe the calf just drank milk from a behemoth tmeyah. Truly you're not choshish for a treifa, because we're a behemoth ksheris, you don't have to worry about the miyut. But behemoth tmeyah shchicha, that's not so far-fetched. So why is it only if you bought, why does Rav Huna interpret, we don't pass like a hop shot, we don't accept the hop shot. Why does Rav Huna read in the Mishnah? You're not allowed to drink the milk in the stomach if you bought the calf from a guy, because you're afraid maybe this calf just drank the milk from a behemoth tmeyah. I feel the gabadi dan nechesh. Why not be concerned if you buy the calf from a Jew? Should be the same. And for the gemara, no. Ananda badlina minai hu, we stay away from behemoth tmeyah. We don't want to eat behemoth tmeyah. V'chi chazin aluhu. If we're going to see a horse or a pig that's a female gives off milk, mafreshin aluhu, we're going to separate the calves from this horse and from the pig. We're not going to let the calf drink any milk. So there goes the rabbanon. It's a milsad al shchicha. It's very rare. Inu by the goyim, the lo b'deidu minai, they don't worry about that. There's no concern by them. They're allowed to drink. They're allowed to eat the flesh from the horse and the pig. They're allowed to drink the milk from the horse and the pig. So they don't have to worry. So then by them, it's a milsad al shchicha to have a treifa. But it's not a milsad al shchicha to have a tmeyah. The chichaz aluhu, if the goy will see that this egel is drinking milk from the behemoth tmeya, loy mafresh aluhu. There's no problem. So therefore, goes by Rabbanan. That's how Rav Huna says pshat in the Mishnah. And Taisa says we don't accept Rav Huna's pshat. We accept Shmuel's pshat. That chodok tani. There is no such din that if you bought a calf from a goy, you're not allowed to drink the milk in the belly, because maybe you drank the milk from a behemoth tmeya. Yeah, that's far fetched. We're not worried about that. It means kevas av kechavim or shel nevel. It's all the same thing. So you're not allowed to drink the milk because kevasa kibsara. And then the Gemara says that Tanoim backed out. That was Kodem Chazara. In Avodah Zarah they backed out. So the first two lines in the Mishnah was Kodem Chazara. That they went with the Shita that kevasa kibsara. And the Amud Beis in the Mishnah, that's Lacha Chazara. After they backed out. That's what the Gemara says. Then the Gemara repeats it again. Here. Ksherish Yonka min Atreifa. The next caption in the Gemara. Sherish a yonkim in a treifa. So the sefer of the Mishnah on the day says, if I know that the calf was drinking milk from a behemoth treifa, so the milk in the stomach is asa, it's sitting there. If I know that the calf is a treifa, but it drank milk from behemoth sherish, so the milk in the stomach is sitting there. So it's going to be kosher. It doesn't matter what the calf is, it matters where it came from, where the milk. And the Mishnah ends up, Neshikonis b'meir, it's just sitting in a container there. You don't say that the milk in the stomach has the same status like the flesh of the behemoth. Freg di gemar, but does not contradict the opening line in the Mishnah. V'hakatani reisha, but in the first line in the Mishnah it says, kevusav kechav mishal nevela harezo asura. And that's what it means, that kevusav kibsura. So the final answer is going to be, the second wide line, The opening two lines in the Mishnah was Kodem Chazar, that the Tanoim at one time held that the milk in the stomach has the same status as the Besar HaBehemah. And then Lacha Chazar, the rest of the Mishnah on Amud Beis, is after they changed the Psak Halacha, and their consensus was for centuries and centuries after that, that there is no such din, that the cholov in the stomach has the same status like even the cholov inside the stomach of a carbon oil you're allowed to eat. If anyone would want to eat it, it's going to taste disgusting. But if a kohen should eat the yafeh, we'll eat it. Yeah. So that's going to be the final answer. Kan kanim chazar, kan la chazar. But before, until the Gemara got to that, so they suggested a different yishuv, a different way to farem for the ratio with the sefer, to make a distinction between a nevela and a trefa. The ratio is talking about nevela, and the sefer is talking about a trefa, so there's a difference. What's the difference? Omer avchizde, and the ratio, it's an Issa derabbanan. It's not an Issa deraisa. The original din that the Mishnah held, that the Cholov HaKonos B'meyeho, the Cholov Shebekevo, is Dina Kibasar, that's only a Chumer Midrabbanan because of Marisayin. It looks as if he's eating the veil. Omer Avchizde, and the Reisha, Nireka Echol Nevelus. The Goy Shechtz a Kef, and the Kef is an Avela, or Jew Shechtz and did a poor job, the Kef is an Avela. So you're going to put in a spoon and take out the milk in the stomach, it's a marasign, it looks as if he's eating the veil. Strictly speaking, he's not eating the veil. It's just contained in a container. But it's near a koich on the veilus. But in the sefer, it's talking about a trefa. A trefa has a shchita. The shchita of a trefa, let's say the animal is diseased, so even though you do a perfect job on the shchita, you're not allowed to eat it because of the issa trefa. But when you shecht it, it's mitar midei nevela. Nevela means has an Issa Nevela, Issa Achilan has Tumas Nevela. In the Sefer it's talking Yeshechted the Trefa, so the Shechita is Metarmine Nevela. Rashi's opinion is, in the Tshuvas, Rashi holds that when Yeshech the Trefa, since the Shechita's Trefa is Metarmine Nevela, you say Abrocha Ala Shechita, when Yeshech the Trefa. In Shulchan Aruch we don't pasken like Rashi. We pasken, you only say Abrocha, Shekudashana Vimitzayis Vitzuvano Ala Shechita, if the Shechit is Shechting an animal that he thinks is going to turn out to be kosher. If he has a Sufik in advance, the animal fell down a flight of stairs, and it may be that it's a trefa, and you can't check until after you shech the animal. Then you have to check the inside organs. So it's in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't say a bracha. The Rambam says you shouldn't say a bracha in advance. It may turn out to be a trefa, and our practice is not like Rashi. You don't say a bracha when you shech the trefa, but the shchitas trefa is mitar midei nevela. So that's what the Gemara says. Amar Rav Chizda, notice a difference in the ratio. We don't permit you to eat the cheese that's inside the stomach, the milk in the stomach, because of a marisayin, nirek, nevelis, abahocha nesefer. It's not a nevel, it's a trefa shchuta. So since has a shchita nishgeferlach, they didn't make a gzera marisayin. Omalei Ravus, the Ravus says, that doesn't make any sense. V'lav kol dekenhu. Shouldn't it be a kol shekein? If they made a gzera de rabbanon, that they don't allow you to eat the cheese in the stomach of an avela, they should certainly make a gzera not to let you eat the cheese in the stomach of an animal that's a trefa. Why? Madach nevela de me'isa. Jews hate nevelas. Jews, we don't want to eat nevelas because we find it disgusting. The shoris like kevasa, even if you'll tell a Jew you're allowed to eat the milk in the stomach, he's never going to be misled to think he's allowed to eat the flesh. Jews have a hatred towards nevela flesh. Nonetheless, Yishoris Le Kevasa, if you'll permit him to eat the milk in the stomach, Le'asa Le'mecha Mina, because we despise it. Nonetheless, Amrit Loi, he told me in the Reisha, you're not allowed, Min the Rabbanan, there's a Marisai, Nirekach, Nevela. So Trefa, Shchuta, in the Sefer, where it's not a Nevela, it's just a Trefa, and you shechted it, and the Shchita is Metarmidei Nevela, the Yishoris Le, if you'll permit him to drink the milk in the stomach, there is a more of a chashash, he may get carried away and think, oh, I'm allowed to drink the milk in the stomach, I'm allowed to eat the flesh also, because I had a shchita. So there's more of a chashash, like kol shekein. Shouldn't it be a kavachayim that they should make a gzera de rabbanon in the sefer? What do you tell me, Rav Chizda? They only made the gzera de rabbanon in the reisha, where it's nevela, in the sefer they didn't make the gzera de rabbanon. The gzera de rabbanon is because he may be misled to go eat the flesh. So there's more of a chashash by trefa than by nevela. There's no way to faremfer. The Reisha and the Sefer contradict each other. The Reisha is when at one period of time the Tanoim held that the Cholov in the stomach has the din like the bus. And on the Amid Beis is Kan Lacha Chazor after they changed the Psak. So the question begs itself, so if they reverse the Psak, they throw out the first line from the Mishnah. We no longer Paschal like that. So the Gemara has an expression, no, Mishnah Lo Zaza Mim Kaima. Since that part of the Mishnah was written, this expression appears a lot of places in Shas. They tell you to look in Yevamos Daf Lamed V'Sham Nisman. There in the Masoret HaShas, they give you the list of all the places where it has that. That expression means, at one time, that was the Psak HaMekubal. And the Mishnah recorded that Psak, even though in later generations, that Psak was reversed. In every generation, you have to pass it according to the consensus. There are a lot of dinim that over the generations, they changed the Psak back and forth. So they wrote down the din in the Mishnah, they didn't cross it out. They left it that you should remember that at one time in history, there was such a Psak, and it was reversed at a later time. So the Shah says, how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? What's the psak halacha l'maisa? So the Gemara says, Amar Abchiyah bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the psak is ma'amidim, we do permit you to be ma'amid bekevas, not or. We permit you to be ma'amid if you take a spoon and you scoop out some of the milk in the stomach, bekevas nevelis. We allow you to be ma'amid bekevas nevelis. We don't allow you to be ma'amid bekevas shchita sabekachavim. If a goy shechts an animal, it's a nevela. Shechita sakim nevela. That's the Mishnah Yud Gimel Amin Aleph. So if a Jew shechts it, it's a nevela. So you're permitted to scoop out this. The calf is a nevela, but the milk in the stomach is not aser. So you can scoop out the milk in the stomach. It's mutter, and use it as a catalyst to convert the milk into cheese, to throw it into a vat of milk. But if you have a goy shechts a behema, a goy shechts a calf. So then the milk in the stomach is asa b'hanoah, and that you're not allowed to use. Why? How did it all of a sudden become asa b'hanoah? Why is the milk in an animal that's a nevela? The milk is mutter because it's sitting there. It has nothing to do with the animal that's a nevela. But if shchita savik achavim, that's worse. So who said this? Amar Abchiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He says, he was a student of Rabbi Yochanan says over. Rav Shimon bar Abba says to Rav Chiya bar Abba, probably his brother, you told me a din name Rabbi Yechanan, it must be keman ki Rav Leizer. You must be saying it within the shita of the Tana Rav Leizer, who says earlier in the second perek, Rav Leizer's opinion is not accepted. We don't pass like him. So he says, you're telling me a din name Rabbi Yechanan. Apparently Rabbi Yechanan passes like the Tana Rav Leizer. The din is that if someone shechts a behemah l'shem tikruvus avodizara. Tikruvus avodizara is asa b'achila, asa b'ano. It's asa b'ano. So Reb Leizer the Tana holds that the nochrim of the avodizara are so hung up on avodizara that if he doesn't say one way or the other, we assume stamach sheb is goy is l'avodizara. A goy shechts a behemah mistamahatin zin afrum a goy mistamahatin zin l'shem tikruvus, and the animal is asa b'ano. So you must be going with shitas Reb Leizer. So the brother Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, obviously Rabbi Yechanan said the halacha is like Rabbi Leizer. That was the first version. That's Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. The Talmud Bavli was written in Bavel. So Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know what Rabbi Yechanan said. Every so often, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yechanan would come to Bavel and would start telling Rabbi Yechanan, "Gezapt azayntz and azelach." So we say over dinim. Kiyasa Rashmo bar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When another Talmud came, he said Rabbi Yechanan never said that. He said Kiyasa Rabbi Yitzchak Rashmo bar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yechanan. He says name Rabbi Yechanan. Ma'amidim bein mikevas nevela, bein mikevas shchitas avikachavim. You're permitted to use to scoop out the milk from the stomach of the calf, whether the calf is a nevela or the calf was geshochten by a goy. You don't have to worry about Rabbi Leizer. We don't pass like Rabbi Leizer. We don't accept the shita. Stam achsheb is goy l'avodizar. If you would, Rashi explains over here. If you would have held stam, if you don't hold like Rabbi Leizer, stam achsheb is goy l'avodizar. So if a goy shechts a calf, so the flesh is nevela. That doesn't affect the milk in the stomach. The calf, when it was an hour earlier before he shechted, the calf was drinking milk from a behemah kshera, so the milk in the stomach is not affected. But if the goy shechts it l'shem avodizare, so he's happy, he wants to make the whole thing to kruvah. So if it has something in the stomach, it makes it fatter. It makes it look fatter. And by them, fatter was healthier. For many generations, it was assumed that fatter is healthier. And it looks like a bigger carbon for the avodizare. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Gemara Maseches avodizare. Nichalei b'nefchei. The one who shechting l'avodizare is very happy that the final animal is so fat. The animal looks so fat because it has milk in the stomach, so everything is tekruvus. The animal with the milk, everything is a tekruvus over here. So if the din would have been like Rabbi Leizer, the shtamach shebes akam l'avodizare, so then even the milk in the stomach would have been asa b'hanoa too. Then you wouldn't be able to scoop out that milk in the stomach if a goy shechted it and be mamid with it. But we don't paskin like Rav Blazer. Shaloi lochus de Rav Blazer. We paskin stamach shemus akum is not l'shem avodah zarah.
Shouldn't be chashina?
Nah, it's far fetched. They're not so firm. If he's a galach, it's a different thing. If the goy is a galach and he's always shechting avodah zarah, it's a different story. Nishken galach afrum a goy avodah zarah. So we don't assume. Bizman is there for sure not. Bizman is there. Tosis says many times. They don't even believe themselves. The Galachim don't believe in. If they really do the Shema of Rizor, Haptanish can brave it. So it's also Bahanoah. But they themselves don't believe in. The Ilchus Saharawi Paskin, the two versions of what Rabbi Yechon had said. Ilchus Saharawi Paskin. Ein Mamidim Ba'or Keves Nevela. You're not allowed to take. The skin. You're not allowed to take the lining of the stomach, because the or is mamish nevela. That you're not allowed to do. Avol mamidim bekevus nevela, to scoop out some of the milk from the stomach, that's okay. And also, it's permissible ubekevas shchita savikachavim. We don't pass like Rav Lezer. The stamach sheb is goy is l'shem avod zara. It's not so. So the milk in the stomach there will also be muta b'hanah. And now the last two lines is very questionable. So the way it says in the Gemara, it says, also mamidim, you're permitted to be mamid, the kevas ksherisha yonkim in atrefa. The Mishnah says, the end of the Mishnah says, ksherisha yonkim in atrefa, if you have an egel, a kef, that was drinking milk from a beim atrefa, so the milk in the stomach is usur. So the Gemara now says, we don't pass like the last line in the Mishnah. Why not? If muta lahamid bekeva, bekeva means the milk, scoop up the milk in a kef that's kosher, but it drank milk from a trefa. The koshkin in the other case, bekeva strefa shiyankam in akshera. If the egel that I shed, the kef, is a trefa, but it drank from a kosher, everything is muta what? My timer? Chalva amkun is bo, pir shabiyamu, everything is nifsa ma'achila. That's why we don't paskin like the sefer of the Mishnah. Sefer the Mishnah says, if you have a ksherish yonkim in a trefa, so the cholav hakonis b'meyeho is aser. So the Gemara now says, according to this girsa, that we don't paskin like the last Mishnah. We paskin based on the other Gemaras in Avodah Zarah, that the milk inside the stomach, since it was affected by the enzymes, is nifsam achila, and it's not royal achila sod. So those in Yeridaya, there are those, here it says on the side, Rashi obviously didn't have this girsa. These two lines are missing in Rashi's Gemara. And the other Rishonim had all machlekes. Those are the three opinions. One opinion is that even chol of tzolul is called nifsa me'achila, because the enzymes start affecting it right away. It already doesn't taste good. And the Rabbeinu Tam holds, we distinguish between chol of tzolul and chol of karush. If the enzymes were affecting it so long that it already became solidified, turned into cheese already in the stomach, then it's nifsa me'achila. But it's still chol of tzolul. The enzymes affected a little bit. So that's still Roy Lachil. And the third opinion is that even Chal of Karush is also not Nifsa Machila. That's how the Mishnah holds. Mishnah holds that it's not Pirsha B'yam. That's the question. How do you declare that something is Nifsa Machila? How do you declare something? The Gemara in Bechoris has a suffix. What's the din? A Meiraglayim Shel Chamor. A donkey gives off milk. So you're not allowed to drink the milk. What about Meiraglayim Shel Chamor? Urine.
I know. What do you do with it?
So the Gemara has a suffix. Is it called nifsa machilu or not? So Reb Shlomo Zalman Neubach says, "What do you mean? You're going to tell a guy here some urine from Machamor? Who's going to want to drink it?" So he says, "No. Obviously, you put it in a bottle and you put in ice cubes at a wedding. And you put it on the table, and you don't tell them what it is. And some of the people will think it's a mayim chayim. It has a funny flavor. It doesn't taste exactly so good." So he says, when you're trying to determine whether something is this machila, you're not supposed to tell a guy what it is. You put it on the table, and you see if he hates it so much that he's going to spit it out, then it's this machila. It's not so easy to declare. Nifs machila. So that's why you have the three shitas. What's the status of the cholov shebimei havlad? Is it nifs machila even if it's tzolol, or it's not nifs machila even if it's karush? But we distinguish between the tzolol and the karish. That's the shayla halacha l'maaseh. In this week's Sedra, there's a famous comment. The Chazal say in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Yosef is Yosef in the Beis HaAsurim on Rosh Hashanah. That's the Shir Shal Yom for Thursday. That's what we say. Yosef in Beis HaAsurim on Rosh Hashanah. And then it says in the Pasuk, Vaygalach Vaychalev Sim Loisof, that he shaved, he was in prison, he was ongewachsen, everything, clothing were filthy and dirty, and he was ongewachsen. So when he was going to go meet the king in order to interpret the dream, so he shaved off his beard and he had to take a bath and wear some nice clothing. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, but Kiyam Avramino Kala Torah Kula Chalai Nitna, the Ovis fulfilled all the mitzvahs before the Torah was given. So how did he shave on Rosh Hashanah? If according to the tradition, it was Yotzei Mibeis Asurim on Rosh Hashanah. So the Chasam Sofer has in the there are several volumes of Chidushi Chasam Sofer Al Torah, some written by Talmidim, some written by himself. So in one of those editions written by the Talmidim, they had the following answer. Kiyim Avraham Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Chalai Nitna, that's a Midas Chasidus. Torah wasn't given yet. So they volunteered, the Ovis HaKadoshim volunteered to observe the Torah before it was given. This is a real din. When you come in front of the melech, you have to have kvod malchus. You have to dress up nicely. So I want to have a chumrah, and because of my chumrah to observe Rosh Hashanah, it was kodem matan Torah. Because I want to be machmir to observe the kedushas Rosh Hashanah, so I'm going to violate a real din. So he says people have to, when people, Chanukah time, people start thinking about this. Because when they made the takana of Neres Chanukah, they made mahadrin, chumras and chumras on top of chumras. So it's a question, when is it proper to be machmer? When is it not proper to be machmer? So a lot of times people are machmer, and by being machmer, it's a chumah da'asi l'day kula. Let's say a guy's going to, you're going to insist only on glatt kosher. Glatt kosher is going to cost you twice as much as normal kosher. You're going to give half the amount of tzedakah. You're going to buy an esrig, $360 an esrig. I buy an esrig for $40. It's kosher l'mahadrin. I don't think I have to spend $360. And the remaining $310, $320, I'll give to tzedakah. Every time you have a chumrah, it carries with it a kula. So you always have to weigh and measure. Is it right? A person, let's say, a person is married and is going to be machmer hilchas nida. A person has shibudim to his wife. He has to be with his wife. Well, he's machmer. What about the shibudim to your wife? There's a din of baltashchis also. Every time there's not going to throw it out in the garbage. What's with baltashchis? The din of baltashchis. Person going to be machmer ripping kriya, so it says you shouldn't be machmer sveikas and hilchas kriya. You always go lekula because it's a safik yisa deraisa. Baltashchis, don't rip a beged unnecessarily. If there's a takanas chacham, you have to rip the beged, so you rip. If it's questionable, so safik baltashchis, so you don't rip. Every time a person has a chumah, you have to always determine, is it in place to introduce the chumah? Sometimes it's an isa to have a chumah. The poskim have a discussion. Sometimes, because of chumas and hilchas nida, so a woman's period is so short that she can't become pregnant. She can only become pregnant if she'll be with her husband, the rabbi, and because we have a lot of chumras, so she can't be with her husband then. So because of chumas, so they can't fulfill the mitzvah period of you. So sometimes the poskim are mekel on this. They say, you're not allowed to observe chumas if it's going to be chumas dosa the day kula. So that's what the Chasam Sofer says over here. But it's interesting, the Chasam Sofer was the one who was very makbid on Kovid HaMalchus. I told over the story once, Chasam Sofer, when he was a teenager, when he was bar mitzvah, he said his own bar mitzvah pshat, he said his own shtickle term. And his father was a frum of Balabas, but the father was not so learned. So as a bar mitzvah bachi, he said over shtickle term from the Elter Zeder, from the Sefer Kosis Yeshuas, his great-grandfather wrote a Sefer, and he ripped it apart. He explained why it's not correct. So the father didn't know whether the kid knew what he was talking about. So he slapped him in public and said, what are you disagreeing? A little kid, 13 years old, he's slugging up what the Elter Zeder said. So he slapped him in public. So the Rebbe was there, Abnas Nadler, so he said to the father, why did you slap the kid? The Elter Zeder is wrong and the little kid is right. So he told the Chasam Sofer, as a young child, 13 years old, you should leave your father's home. Every time you're going to ask Akasha and the Ramam, Akasha and Rashi, Akasha and Tes, Akasha and the Gemara, your father's going to slap you? That's the only way to succeed in learning. You have to ask all the Kashas. It doesn't make sense. You have to figure out if it does make sense or it doesn't make sense. You have to ask Kashas. Can't be such a tzaddik. You're not allowed to ask a chutzpah to ask a Kasha. You have to have this kind of chutzpah. So he told him, I think you should leave your father's home. So he moved in with the Rebbe, and he learned Ram Nos Nadla. So after a few years, he suggested, Ram Nos Nadla suggested, he should go to the city Rechnitz where the Or Chodesh lived. The Or Chodesh wrote a sefer, a pilpul sefer, on Pesachim. I have the Or Chodesh at home. I just looked at one thing. I looked in the Chodesh. Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned the Or Chodesh on Pesachim. So I bought the sefer. Then I realized that's the only thing. It's all pilpul. That's the only thing he ever said from the Or Chodesh. So he traveled a couple of days till he got to Rechnitz. He stayed there a couple of weeks. He didn't enjoy the shiurim at all. And he went back home to Frankfurt, and he didn't understand why the Rebbe sent him on this wild goose chase that he should go to Rechnitz to sit and learn by the Or Chodesh. He didn't enjoy it. So many years later, 30, 40 years later, he was a Rav in Presburg, and two Balabatim came for a Din Torah. So the Chassam Sofer gave a psak. It was a shayla for Mekach Toys. There was faulty merchandise. The Chassam Sofer gave a psak, and he wrote the psak, Biksav, what the psak was. So the police arrested him, because the merchandise that the one Frumiyid sold to the other was brought in illegally into the country, into Hungary. And if the rabbi signed on the psak, obviously he's in cahoots with them. It didn't bother him that they're dealing in illegal merchandise. So the Chassam Sofer said he didn't even know what the merchandise was. He didn't ask it. Didn't know legal, illegal. They told him a story. He sold merchandise and it was faulty, and he described the fault. And he gave a psak whether it's a din mekach tos or not. So the judge didn't want to believe him. So the judge was going to put him away for a couple of years in prison for violating din machus. So at that time there was a policeman in the court, a goyish policeman, and the goyish policeman was just to keep law and order, that no one should go crazy. So the goyish policeman said, "Your Honor, could I say a word?" It never happened before. Policeman is also entitled to an opinion. So he said, "Yeah, what do you have to say?" So he says he wants to ask the defendant a question. He says, "Go ask him." He said, "Did you ever live in Rechnitz?" So he said, "Yeah, 35 years ago. He spent a month in Rechnitz." He says, "Your Honor, the man is innocent. Because I remember as a teenager, I was a policeman in Rechnitz, and I used to stand, my spot was in front of the synagogue, and all the kids, the Jews and the non-Jews, they all made fun of the police, they all made fun of the government. No one had any respect for me or for the government. This little kid as a teenager, every morning we say, 'Good morning, officer.' With such U.S. hakavod for the government, I can't believe it. And now that he's a big rabbi, now he's going to violate Dina Machusa." It couldn't be. As a young child, he was so careful about Kavod HaMalchus. So he was off the hook. So then he understood why the Rebbe sent him to Rechnitz, that the policeman should be able to save his life later. Yeah. So Chassam Sofer was very makbid on that. He writes, Yosef is going to observe Achum Aminas Chassidus, to observe Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, but not to violate a real din. You want to observe Chumas, but not a Chumas that's going to be a Kula. This is a real din, and you have to show Kavod to the Malchus. In America now, nobody shows Kavod to the Malchus. There's a good reason. No Malchus.
No Malchus. No
I don't know. The first time I heard it, it didn't sit that well with me. I said, so I said right away that I'm going to believe that. That's a fact. If the
Das
Kainu,
he
showed me Das Kainu Mibali Tosfos.
Probably quotes it from a Medrash.
So I have to believe that.
You don't have to believe it. Is that a matter? Okay. No.
The Gemara is concerned.
What was his name?
Yeah. He always comes in.